talked about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
I bring you a warning. Every one of you listening to my voice, tell the world, tell this to everybody wherever they are.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
Y'all might be thinking right now, I wonder, did he smoke something before he came out here? The answer is yes. I rolled up a little something. I knocked the edge off.
Blazed.
Leave Tom Brady alone, right?
Too much wine?
As you probably could have guessed by this moment, I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
Oh, hello there. Today, children, I'd like to demonstrate some different styles of vocal scratching. To begin with, we'll need a beat.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smell it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm sorry for the realness.
Roll another one.
Bill Clinton's a rapist. What's
just
up?
Like the other.
I get it.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
That's racist.
Roll.
Eagle Eye Cherry.
Just like the other one.
Lit.
This one seems to be about ten.
Stay on point, Donald. Stay on point.
I don't have another sense.
No sidetracks, Donald. Nice and easy. Nice.
But don't bogart that joint.
I think you're both drunk. I smell alcohol.
Just pass it around.
Michael Jackson was tight. Hey, Bill.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
Trick or Treat, 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, yes. And welcome to the Rodney on the Rock Halloween Show.
Late. Our feature presentation.
Late for that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's that time right now.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday the 4th of November, I think. Is it this weekend that's Daylight Savings?
No, this weekend is standard time.
But, I mean, do we move the clocks this weekend?
Yes, we do.
That's right. Changes. Okay.
They go back an hour on Sunday at 2 a.m., right?
So daylight savings. All right.
No, cool. Standard time.
That means I'm on Bean Twitter Watch.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Come on.
Good news for Jim.
Fighting the good fight and winning. Like to point out. Fighting the good fight and winning.
Right.
Every year, more and more people learn that it's daylight saving, not savings time. Remember, saving, not savings. All right?
Everyone got it?
But I say I'm past Halloween. I'm past the time change. Oh. For me, it's all about the Christmas. And I saw something so delightful yesterday. Kevin, you have often said that you don't ever want a cold day, and you certainly never want to see a flake of snow in your life, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll visit. I don't mind visiting.
You don't mind visiting?
I don't want to live there.
Okay. Right. Yeah, that's understandable.
Yes.
A lot of people are past living in the snow.
Right.
I love it when I, I don't do it very often, but when I go to New York City and it's Christmas time or London and other cities where they put an ice rink in, I think that's fun. I always try to ice skate, do that. What? I've been with my wife multiple times
have
where we've done the holiday ice skating.
You've ice skated.
Well, yes.
You've put on ice skates and you've
yes.
got out on frozen water and
yes.
you've skated.
Yes, you go to the place where they build the ice rink in this center
right,
city, like
saying,
at Rockefeller Center or something like that.
I'm clear on how they do it. I'm just saying then you lace them up?
Of course, yes.
And then you skate?
Why not? Why not, Bean? This is America. It's fun. No, it's not fun?
It is fun. It's just
okay.
You don't strike me as an ice skater.
I enjoy it.
Back to you.
I'm no good at it. I mean, right. I'm certainly. I mean, look, little kids are zipping by me at 100 miles an hour.
Right, that's so, my point.
Yeah, I'm not good at it, but I do enjoy it. And the reason I bring this up is I just think this is so delightful. There are two guys, R.J. Hurley. He is from Denver. Joe Martin, his friend and business partner, is from Buffalo. And they missed the snowy holiday seasons when they were growing up in their respective cities. So they have decided to create a winter wonderland that is going to be coming in starting November 17th through December 23rd. It's going to be in Elysian Park near downtown.
Is that right?
It's going to feature 8 lanes of snow tubing. Now, because of the drought, they were not able to bring in mounds of actual snow, you know, to go up, take some trucks up to Big Bear or something like that. So they're using synthetics.
They just painted sand white?
No, they have something that's a synthetic snow-like material called powder pack. It's used by ski hills when there isn't enough snow, and it should replicate the same feeling of gliding down on, you know, while you're tubing on actual snow. There also is going to be a blizzard every hour where the snow falls from above. And I think they do. Don't they do something like that at the Grove too? Don't they have a thing where it snows sometimes at the Grove?
I don't know about the fake snow.
So that'll be cool to actually, you know, be outside and have it be snowing. You know, feeling like you're actually in snow. But of course, it's still going to be whatever the temperature is that day. So
right.
It's not like you'll be freezing or anything.
So
like
it's not going to be snowing.
Well, I mean, it'll look like it's snowing. It'll feel like it's snowing, except for the cold, right? We're trying to create the nostalgic feeling of going to a ski or sledding hill with your family in the wintertime and having that cup of hot chocolate or cider. There's going to be a forest full of 200 light-up snowmen. They're going to burst into song at various points throughout the event. There will be a giant snow globe that you can get your photo taken in. There are going to be food and beverage carts. There's also going to be something called the Penguin Lounge, which is going to serve alcohol. And guests there will receive a penguin onesie. That's a fine takeaway gift,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
Penguin onesie.
Adults,
so anyway,
adult size?
Yes, because that's where they're serving the alcohol.
That's pretty
in
sweet.
So yeah, so it's in Elysian Park, and it's going to be November 17th through December the 23rd. If you're interested, Snow Day Los Angeles, it's what it's called. If you want to check that out and you know, get the details and plan on going out, but I just think that sounds like a fun thing, especially, you know, you got little kids who've never seen snow,
right?
Never been.
Uh huh.
That sounds like it'd be a lot of fun to take them snow tubing.
Right,
think.
And while you're here for acoustic, mm-hmm. you're going to go.
I don't know that all.
Am I right?
Well, a lot of people, you know, it's pretty crowded.
I'm sure you could find a time that's not that crowded.
And it doesn't say there's ice skating, and that's really my event.
Sure. That's your strength.
That is my event. But anyway, happy holidays, everyone.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That sounds pretty bad, but I don't speak asshole.
What do you do when your neighbors are having sex that's just too loud? It's just too loud.
Hey, can I cut in?
I'm not sure that's the move.
Okay.
I'm not sure that's the move. What's up with Florida on the program today?
Mm-hmm.
They never fail to disappoint.
I can't keep up with them anymore. I woke up this morning and read about a squirrel that had gotten into a senior center and sent 4 people to the hospital. A squirrel went on an attacking rampage in a senior center. Only in Florida would something like that happen.
How does a squirrel send anyone to the hospital?
I don't know. But honestly, that's what's going on in Florida. There's something in the water.
We are going to talk week 9 NFL picks with RJ Bell from Las Vegas. We have Mr. Bad Example.
How dare you?
How dare you? And we've got the movie beat because it's Friday. That's all coming up today. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Hey, Ruff Garman.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on in your little corner of the studio?
Just thinking about you on ice skates. That's all I'm doing. That's all I care about.
Look.
I want to see you on ice skates more than almost anything.
I'm not claiming to be a super athlete or anything.
I don't care what level you're at. I want to see you on sharpened metal blades.
I am able to stand up on them.
On slippery ice.
I can go around the rink and not fall down.
Great.
I'm not graceful.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm just saying, I'm all for it. Yes, vote yes,
yes please.
On this proposition.
Okay.
How about a little periscope action?
Instead of
a little less furry, a little more you on ice skates. That's what I'm saying.
How about an ice skating singles party?
There we go.
Boom. Well, I don't know.
Boom.
Hosted by Bean.
The Blade. Bean the Blade Baxter.
Ralph, were you here when we did the, I don't know if it was Bear Mountain or Mountain High, where we did the show from a ski resort? And Bean strapped on the skis for the first time ever. and was on the bunny hill, but went...
Just shredded?
No.
Just made snowbank after snowbank?
Somehow got turned around and went backwards down.
That's how good he is. Most people have to skate forwards. He just went right to backwards.
But in his defense, he was able to stay up the whole way down backwards.
Of course. Look at his physical specimen. He's an athlete. He's a finely tuned machine.
I remember at the time thinking, this is one of the strangest things I will ever see before I die. This is it. This will make top five. Backwards the whole way.
Probably did the slalom.
It's pretty sweet.
I'm guessing.
I'm sure I couldn't do it again if I tried 100 times.
Nope.
I'll tell you that.
Heck,
you could not.
It was just out of sheer panic, I think, from not wanting to fall down.
Blade, you could do it all. I'm sure. You're Mr. Winter Olympics.
Right? I'm sorry I brought it up.
You are Lake Placid.
Oh, no. We're happy you brought it up.
I was just trying to share a little something for the kids.
It's the only thing that's going to make me happy today. So thank you for bringing it up. Because the rest is just all bad news.
5:55. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Don't forget, first of all, daylight savings time ends this weekend.
Right.
So you have to get an extra hour of sleep setting your clocks back on Saturday night. So you get a little extra time to sleep in on Sunday morning. So don't forget, daylight savings time ends
There's no S.
I'm a big fan of daylight savings now when you get
it's
to.
Just, yeah, no, the extra time.
Goes back, you get the extra
it's
time.
It's just the start of standard time. Let's just say it that way.
It's like
standard
taking
time
a tack out of your shoe. It's like walking around with a tack in your shoe just because it feels so good when you take it out.
And then it's like daylight savings.
Oh, daylight savings time is over. It feels so good.
It's just the start of standard time. We could just say that, just phrase it that way, then we could all be happy and accurate.
So the end of daylight savings time is
Sunday. Right,
say binga.
Just a binga.
How busy is Bean going to be this weekend?
All busy.
Chip's already angry at us because she has to follow his Twitter.
There's going to be smoke coming off of his keyboard.
Look.
Never-ending list of tweets.
I also don't know if you heard.
Strongly worded tweets.
He feels like he's winning.
I am winning.
He's making an impact.
What do you get a coveted mirror ball trophy at the end? Or what is the win?
Just one by one, people are sourcing me when I tell them they're wrong, and they're coming back and they're going, you know what, you're right. I've been saying it wrong all this time, and now I know. Thank you. Maybe without the thank you part.
No one's ever thanked you.
The sense I get is
grateful. There, with a different word in front of the you, I think, instead of thank.
But they're grateful. Feeling from them is that they're really, really happy we had that exchange.
Eternally grateful. You're probably going to get Christmas cards this year from people whose lives you've made so much better.
Thank you.
Grade A douche.
Or that. Hey, congratulations, Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal, by the way, if you don't remember, Doto's favorite actor.
Oh, right.
Want to give our congratulations to Steven Seagal, who has just become an official Russian citizen. Vladimir Putin just signed off yesterday on a decree granting Steven Seagal Russian citizenship.
Steven Seagal.
A Kremlin spokesman said Seagal was asking quite insistently and over a lengthy period of time to become a Russian citizen.
Why?
Why does he want to be a Russian citizen?
Yes. It doesn't seem great.
He has never shied away from saying how many warm feelings he has for the country. And, more importantly, Steven is great friends with Vladimir Putin and called him the greatest world leader alive today back in 2014. They have a very close relationship.
Oh.
And so now Steven can enjoy all of the perks that come with being a citizen in Russia under Vladimir Putin. He can make sure everything he said is recorded at any time. If he wants to go back and check in on something.
He can not eat.
If he loses his car keys or something, he can just ask the KGB, who has cameras on in his house, where they are.
It does sound pretty good.
It's great. They take care of you there in Russia.
Steven Seagal.
Right.
Hey, I don't have a list of birthdays. I just realized. I guess it's because...
Because the King of Mexico is still in bed?
King of Mexico is still in bed.
That way?
Celebrity birthdays. Kathy Griffin is 56 years old today. Ralph Macchio. The second most famous Ralph, I think, probably.
Behind?
You know, the most famous one.
Ralph?
How dare you, little midget. He's 55. Jeff Probst, the Probster. Probstie. Wife and I cuddled up and did a little binge watching. We're a little behind on the Survivor this season. Knocked out a couple episodes. And I just turned to her and I said, God damn it, he's good at this.
He is good, yeah. I heard it was the most shocking elimination ever, a couple weeks ago.
Are you being facetious?
No, I mean, that's what That's how they spin it when you see the commercials for it.
Well, I won't get into it, but it was an amazingly cool moment in one of the tribals a couple weeks ago. It was kind of nuts. Sean, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Dua Diddy, Combs, 47 years old today, as is actor Matthew McConaughey. All right. He drives a Lincoln, you know.
Sure does.
He drove it before. It's cool, man.
He dives into swimming pools with a suit on.
Oh, it's refreshing, right?
Just stares off into the distance.
Yep.
By the hour.
It's got a lot going on.
Sure
in
does.
He's 47. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. That was shoot across the.
I feel like that was, it's pretty much a complete
need a little,
work.
Little more.
It's a complete work on its own.
Need a little more, just a little taste, just a little
think
boost.
So. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:19.
And it is Friday morning, and that means it's movie beat time, and that means hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Wow. I rarely say this, but I think across the board, total win this weekend.
Is that right?
All the new films.
Go to any of them.
Go to any of them. I think you're going to be satisfied.
All right.
I think you're going to have a good time at your movies. I think you're going to get your popcorn. You're going to sit down. You're going to watch the big screen and walk out with a smile on your face. Because these are some good choices. Let's kick off with the smallest film of the batch. And by that, I mean it's in limited release. If you want to see this film, you're going to have to hunt it down. But boy, does this look devastating and brilliantly acted and just across the board. It looks like everyone involved in this is just top-notch. It's a movie called Loving. And if you ever hear anyone talking about making America great again, for example, and the good old days like the 1950s when America was great,
right?
Keep in mind the couple of Richard and Mildred Loving, who were sentenced to prison in Virginia in 1958 for getting married.
For what?
For getting married. Now, here's the thing. Richard was a white man. Mildred was a black woman.
Ah.
And they spent time in prison for getting married. They drove up to Washington, D.C. They went to the courthouse, got married, came back to Virginia. At one point in the evening, their home was broken into. The police dragged them out.
Wow.
Sentenced them to prison for being married in 1958.
Wow.
Good times.
The state of Virginia will argue that it is unfair to bring children of mixed race into the world.
I know we have some enemies, but we have some friends, too.
You realize this case could alter the Constitution of the United States.
You think you'll lose?
We may lose the small battles, but win the big war.
Is there anything you'd like me to say to the Supreme Court justices of the United States?
Yeah. Tell the judge I love my wife.
Come on!
Come on, right?
That's Joel Edgerton in the lead there.
Who's great in everything.
Who is a brilliant, brilliant actor and writer and director as well. But this film looks powerful, and maybe we need it now more than ever. But Ruth Negga also stars in this, Will Dalton, Dean Mumford. Great cast. Looks just awesome. Maybe worth your time to try to find out where it's playing in a theater near you, because it is in limited release, and check out Loving. Another film with a powerful emotional message, Hacksaw Ridge, from director Mel Gibson.
Looks great.
It looks amazing, and he is a great, great filmmaker. Say what you want about his shenanigans and his behavior offset, but boy, he just turns out great film after great film, certainly as a director, and then did as an actor for many years as well. This is the story of a true life hero in World War II, an American Army medic named Desmond Doss, who served during the Battle of Okinawa, which was a brutal battle. But here's the thing. He was a conscientious objector. Now, usually most people use that to try to get out of service. He was more than willing to serve in the Army, but he said, I will not carry a gun and I will not kill or harm anyone.
That seems like a poor soldier.
He wanted to serve his country.
Right.
But at the same time, he believed firmly in not killing or harming another person. So he went into service as a conscientious objector. So they made him a medic, someone in charge with trying to save and heal. And he ended up being a hero during the Battle of Okinawa, the first American in history to be awarded the Medal of Honor for who is a conscientious objector. So, as you mentioned, there's a real cross purposes there, but Andrew Garfield stars as Desmond Moss. Sam Worthington's also in this, Teresa Palmer. Here's some clips from the trailer of Hacksaw Ridge.
While everybody else is taking life, I'm going to be saving it.
And that's going to be my way to serve.
Private Doss does not believe in violence. Do not look to him to save you on the battlefield.
With the world so set on tearing itself apart, it doesn't seem like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together.
Private Doss, you are free to run into the hellfire of battle without a single weapon to protect yourself.
I'm going to get you home. Please, Lord. Help me get one more.
Wow, it's like we're living in a grown-up world this weekend, Ralph.
It's crazy. Well, don't get nuts, because we do have trolls.
Okay.
Something for the kids, too. Let's go to Troll Village, right?
Right.
And meet Poppy, the happiest troll ever born. But Branch is the crankiest troll. And together, they go off on a journey to rescue Poppy's friends, all the happy trolls who are happy.
What are they rescuing them from, then?
From them, from unhappiness.
I see.
Okay. Save them from themselves.
Why rescue?
Because there's danger in the world.
Oh.
And you got to be happy in Troll Village. I wonder if the Smurfs are just filing a lawsuit as we speak.
They, really? They have a Troll Village?
We have Smurf Town. And we were all happy. We were blue. It's the only difference. They got their lawyers on the phone. Great cast in this for the kids. Anna Kendrick is one of the voices. Justin Timberlake, Zoe Deschanel, Christopher Mintz-Plasse. Funny, funny people entertaining your kids in Trolls.
Why do I live in a heavily fortified survival bunker? Because right outside my door lurks a nightmare. Named Poppy.
A 5, 6, 7, 8!
Poppy is the leader of the Trolls.
Branch, we just got attacked by a Bergen.
A Bergen?
It took everybody. Dad!
What's your plan?
To rescue everyone and make it home safely.
We did it! So you're going to scrapbook them to freedom.
Solid burn, Branch.
See? They bicker, the two of them.
Do they?
They do, but they're trolls, so it's adorable. And their hair goes, woo! Come on, the kids. Right?
Come on, the kids.
Right. And lastly, the big elephant in the room, the blockbuster, the monster... Doctor Strange opening up this weekend. Going to make all the money is Dr. S. Benedict Cumberbatch stars as the titular hero. Chiwetel Ejiofor, Rachel McAdams, Benedict Wong. Boy, I cannot wait to see this just mind-f acid trip of a movie. Everyone who's seen it is loving it. Dr. Stephen Strange is a neurosurgeon who loses his power to heal. Because his hands are badly damaged in a car accident, leaves him pretty much physically beat up. But then powers beyond his comprehension draw him into the world of the mystic arts so he may become the Sorcerer Supreme and protect us all from the things occult. The Eye of Agamotto. Right?
Is that part of
it? The amulet he wears.
Sure.
You don't even know, man.
The Eye of Amuloto. Sure. Of course. Everybody knows that.
I can't wait for to see this movie, Doctor Strange, in theaters everywhere. Some clips from the trailer.
Through the mystic arts, we harness energy and shape reality.
There's a strength to him.
But is he ready?
Be careful which path you travel down, Strange. Stronger men than you have lost their way. You'll die protecting this world.
There is no other way.
I am Agamotto!
Right.
You don't know, man.
I do.
That's going to make... what do you think? What are you guessing? 75 mil this weekend?
I would guess so.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
That's going to be huge.
I'm guessing.
By the way, don't forget Inferno. Great movie.
Why don't you don't forget Inferno?
Back to you.
Back to me. Again, that Loving movie, seriously, if you can find it, check it out. It looks, the trailer had me in tears. So I think there's a lot to be learned from that. Hacksaw Ridge, again, as I mentioned, Mel Gibson at the top of his game. Trolls for the kids and Doctor Strange, the big monster blockbuster for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
All right, what did I do now? What now? What happened?
Bean, bless his heart, tries to help.
Yeah, well, he wants people to understand what he's saying, and so he often will cite specific examples to help illustrate his point.
His examples, however, are getting worse and worse. And that's why we bring to you Mr. Bad Example.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
He really sucks.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Such a schmuck.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
You'll see what we mean.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
Well, I certainly hope you have an example to back up that spurious claim.
Yeah, well, we have plenty.
Yes, actually.
We have
several.
A lot. This particular one, I think it's 3/4 Christmas, 5/6 Christmas, I don't know, but Bean's very excited about it and gives an example of what it's like for him.
I love Half Christmas. No one will ever take Half Christmas away from him. Half Christmas is great.
Right.
But once you get to 2/3 Christmas, mm-hmm. because next month is 3/4 Christmas.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
It's right around the corner.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sleigh ride that's going down a snowy hill with no brakes. And Mr. Bad Example.
Yep.
Why do you think...
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Why do you think it's around the corner wasn't enough?
Hearing that now, though, I think that's a perfect analogy. Because
you said it yourself in it. That's Mr. Bad Example right there.
Because I started laughing at me.
When you talked about your sled with the brakes, which sleds don't have, by the way. They're drawn by horses.
All right.
And it's down a hill where Christmas is at the bottom of the hill, and no one understands what your example means. That's why it's bad.
When you put it that way, I'll give you that
And
one.
By the way, we're going to revisit that one in a second.
Oh,
Bean went back for seconds.
Okay.
Here we're talking to a stoner inventor.
Look, if I started walking around with a road cone on my head, I would be unique.
Hold on.
Wouldn't that be great?
Road cone.
No, it's a terrible idea.
It's a great idea.
Next Kickstarter.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Who's picking a road cone to put on their head?
How do you even think of that?
As bad fashion.
I don't know. What comes to your mind, Kevin, if you're looking for something to defend against a guy who just says he's unique and says it's good because he's
unique? I don't
unique.
Feel like road cone comes to my head.
I don't know where it came from either.
All right. Well, you know what it is? A bad example.
That's right.
I got you.
Ralph is impersonating Michael McDonald. I forget how this started, but you did it for about a week straight.
Because the guy who wrote Sweet Freedom, song from Michael McDonald, passed away. And this guy wrote a ton of really big hits. So I just started singing Sweet Freedom, and then I started singing other Michael McDonald songs.
So Ralph was giving you actually the voice that he sang with. And Bean, that's not enough for him.
No, because people understand that.
He needed to give an example of what the guy's voice sounds like.
Minute! By minute, by minute, by minute, I'll keep going on.
He did have one of the weirdest lead voices.
Very strange.
Ever.
Yeah.
It's like what Fog would sound like if it could sing.
Mr. Bad Example.
No, that's not bad.
It's what Fog would sound like if it could sing.
Yes, because I'm going to have to spend some time with that one. I'm not positive that I can work that
through. It's kind of thick and dense and kind of hard to make it through. No? Okay.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Bean's got a point. You ever tried to walk through fog? You can't get through it. It's so
true.
Thick and dense.
you just bounce off.
You're going to get stuck in it for a while, and you have to make camp and wait until it clears because fog is so thick and dense and hard to get through.
It's practically a brick wall.
It really is. Fog. How does anyone get through fog with all its thick density?
If fog could sing.
Right.
That's the example.
We all know the sound fog makes.
Okay. We were talking about the guy that died 40 times during surgery.
The heart stopped and worked again in short periods of 20 to 30 seconds. This is like banging on a light bulb that keeps going on, just trying to get it to go back on.
It's a little more complex than that.
I don't know. It sounds like that's exactly what it is.
We took the heart in our hands and continued massaging it.
Who bangs on a light bulb?
It's like banging on a light bulb.
Is that not a thing?
Is this
Bean's bad example?
Yes!
Maybe you unscrew it a little, screw back in, but you don't bang on it, never.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
How long does it take you to change a light bulb in your house,
right?
You spend a lot of time banging it.
All right, technically, that wasn't a great example.
Oh, really?
It wasn't perfect.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Now we're talking about trick-or-treating and what time is acceptable and what tricks to keep your kids away from.
If your kids are going out and you're not with them every second of the day, you got to make sure that don't fall for the old, hey, kids, come on in. I've got a treat in the basement. Don't fall for that, right?
In the basement.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
In the basement. Do people go outside and say, hey, kids,
I've got some treats in the basement.
Has nothing to do with the van that I'm in.
Yeah.
It's in the basement.
Maybe too much information there from Bean.
You're suggesting that doesn't happen.
Maybe.
Ever. Okay.
Unless you're pulling back a curtain that I don't want to see behind.
I don't think anyone has ever said, come down to the basement. I've got some
treats. That's where the treats are. Down in the basement.
I wonder why it has been so ineffective for me.
And now it's time to revisit, finally, sledding toward Christmas.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. We're back on the sled? Yes, we are.
Oh, good.
We're definitely sledding down the hill right now toward Christmas. We can't avoid it.
And Christmas is at the bottom of the hill?
Just waiting for us down there.
Why are we at the top of the mountain if Christmas is at the bottom?
I'm not sure. I maybe didn't think that one through.
Really? What a surprise.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
What's your obsession with sledding down a hill to Christmas Town?
Seriously, you went to it twice, and it didn't work either time.
All right, now would be a good time for you guys to give me a better analogy for what I insist on talking about how Christmas will be here before we know it then.
You know how to say Christmas is right around the corner?
Uh-huh.
Everybody knows what that means. Everybody gets it. Christmas will be here before you know it. Everyone understands that.
Right,
no example needed.
But that doesn't fill you with the feeling that it's you're racing toward it, and it's unavoidable, and it'll be here quicker than you even think.
All those things you just said completely explain what you're talking about.
Right, but I was going for you're in a vehicle that's out of control and it's moving faster than you are comfortable with, and you're going to hit the wall at the bottom of the hill. That's the look I'm going for.
The wall now?
I just hope there's no fog down there at the bottom of the hill and we'll never get through it because it's so thick and dense.
Thanks for giving us our first example of the next episode.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Our friend RJ Bell in Las Vegas, founder of pregame.com, had another winning week last week with his NFL picks. We'll talk week 9 coming up right after the top of the hour with RJ. First, Rob is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Movies, movies, movies. Between now and the end of the year, we're just going to get an onslaught of really cool movies, including this one, which is getting rave reviews. I think it's 100%.
Only 100%?
Certified fresh over at Rotten Tomatoes. It's a movie called Arrival.
Yay!
Starring Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, and Forrest Whitaker. Amy plays a linguist who is recruited by the military to assist in translating alien communications as these giant pod-like ships start landing all over the world. Jeremy Renner, as I mentioned, also stars Forrest Whitaker. Boy, this looks terrific. You can go find out more information at arrivalmovie.com. But if you'd like to go to the red carpet premiere of Arrival this Sunday, November 6th, why don't you give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through with that phone number will get a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere of Arrival this Sunday at the Village Theater in Westwood. And if you don't win, you can catch Arrival in theaters on November 11th. Speaking of movies, we did the movie beat a little bit ago, and we were talking about Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Which promises to be the monster hit of the weekend. Great tweet I read this morning. At Official Jaden. You know who that belongs to?
Jaden Smith.
Yeah, that's right.
Will Smith's kid.
Our beloved Jaden Smith.
Love him so much.
Tweeted this late last night. Just watched Doctor Strange. I'm completely blown away. I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to those practices. Thank you.
Meaning?
He's going to start a life in the mystic arts, and he's going to train so he, too, can become a sorcerer.
Is he aware that that's a movie?
I don't get the sense from this particular tweet that he does.
Okay.
I believe he thinks it may be a documentary.
Okay.
All right.
He is going to dedicate the rest of his life to the practices of Doctor Strange.
Great idea or best idea?
Best idea. This means where we say he's going to have a cloak. He's going to be wearing a cloak. He'll have the Eye of Agamotto around his neck.
I hope all that happens.
You'll be conjuring.
I love that.
How great would our life be if we have Dr. Smith just go making his way through the world?
That would be the best.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, everybody catch the CMAs last night? Y'all watch the CMAs?
Did not. Wait.
Or was it the other? When was it?
Two nights ago.
I did watch it last night.
Is it country music?
Oh, yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, no.
Boy, is it country music.
Well, it was a hell of a show, by the way. It was their 50th anniversary.
Oh,
they brought out all the big bands.
Is it still country music?
Well, yeah.
Did Carrie Underwood change costumes?
About every 10 minutes the 3.5-hour show,
That's
yes.
That's all that matters. Well, a bit of controversy regarding the CMAs because Beyonce showed up.
Okay.
With the Dixie Chicks.
hit the stage to do a song called Daddy Lessons, one of their hits.
And, it's one of her hits.
One of Beyonce's hits. I'm yes. And they did it like a country version with banjo and fiddle and stuff.
That sounds interesting, all except for the banjo.
It was interesting. And I got to tell you something. The country music fans just loved it. Just ate it up with a spoon. All the rednecks, oh, their response was nothing but positive. They were enjoying, Kevin, you'll be surprised. They were enjoying the crossing of the two cultures to have an African-American female on stage doing one of her songs with the Dixie Chicks.
I'm sensing
was
that they weren't.
Huge, huge hit.
Enjoying it.
Oh, wait a minute. You've never seen more N-words in your life than in the comment sections of CMA's Facebook page when they posted the video et al. It was one of the biggest outpourings of racism I've seen in a long, long time.
Dare I say it was deplorable?
It was. It was insane.
Well, look, a lot of country music fans are still not over their hatred of the Dixie Chicks anyway. They haven't forgiven them for what happened 10 years
ago. Dixie Chicks do like to poke the bear, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the Dixie Chicks know that, and they definitely poke the bear on social media with those people.
Yeah.
And then you put Beyonce, who they think has no business being on that stage, you put those two things together, and yeah, they had a lot to say about that appearance.
Yeah. And then, at least, Beyonce's fan base, the Beehive, they took to the internet because they didn't like the way Kenny Chesney, country star Kenny Chesney, was not smiling or responding to the performance like everyone else. Now, if you see the footage, he is kind of given a dirty look. He is weirdly stone-faced and still and staring while everyone around him is dancing and clapping
That's
to the song.
Strange.
It was strange. It did stick out like a sore thumb. However, the death threats he's been getting from the Beehive and tweets like Kenny Chesney not happy about Beyonce being on that stage. Stay mad. We taking country too, said one African-American Twitter. I'm going to need you to smile in the presence of the queen, sir, said another. Let's not forget the reason Renee Zellweger divorced him, because he's a closeted gay man. Others called him racist. And, of course, my favorite, don't ever disrespect the queen. How dare you? I hope you die a slow and painful death. So I think both sides of the issue have a firm grip on the appropriate response to what...
Can we all get along?
No.
Can we get along?
We cannot.
To a woman singing a song on stage.
Yeah.
That's all that happened, by the way.
Yeah.
She got up on stage and she sang a song.
Well, she threatened to kill the president, though, didn't she?
No. No, it's just... She was peppy and happy and danced and
sang. She brought out a flamethrower and took out the first five rows?
No, you know what she did? She sang a song and danced a little bit. And seemed to entertain. That's what she was doing, wanting people to be happy with the music that she was creating.
Guys, does it ever surprise you guys when stuff like this happens?
Yes, it does.
Because to me, it just seems like this is 40 years ago. How are people still acting like this today?
There is a great time warp in this country, Kevin.
It's
I know
crazy.
You think we live in the 21st century, but there are some people who are still trapped in another time. And another dimension. And it is, sadly, it's not surprising to me at all when this happens. Yeah. It's just it's a song on an award show. And there's death threats and there's racism and N-words being thrown over.
I mean, in their defense, she did sing a song.
That's true.
So
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Why? Where are your brothers?
They're all dead now.
I'm sorry. Stop asking that follow-up question. It's just depressing me. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kathy Griffin's 56 years old today. Actor Ralph Macchio turns 55. Jeff Probst, the Probster, the Probstinator. Probstanovich.
I don't think anyone calls him that.
He's 54 years old today. Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Dua Diddy Combs.
Are you not entertained?
47 years
Are
old.
Are you not entertained?
I'm plenty entertained. And Matthew McConaughey, who was at the CMAs, who was dancing.
No.
Dancing his ass off to Beyonce and the Dixie Chicks, really enjoying himself. Of course, he was high as F, but come on. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What's up with Florida? Coming later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome to the weekend. RJ Bell is on the line from Las Vegas at pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Let's hear that great theme song, shall we?
RJ Bell.
RJ. How are you, sir?
I tell you, 2-1 last week, so you got to think, okay, that's good. But it's like the fourth time this year we've started 2-0, and we've gone 0-4 on the third game. We can't finish the sweep. You know,
maybe don't point that out.
Well, you know, listen, that's the thing about Vegas. You got to look square in the eye of the facts, even when they are not pleasant. But again, 2-1's good.
Sure.
But you got to love those undefeated weeks.
Yeah. And you were very close last week. You had the Eagles plus 4.5. If they'd have given you just one more touchdown, even losing the game, you still would have been 3-3. But
Or 3-0, yeah. At a given point of that Philly-Dallas game, Philly was about 98% to cover the spread.
So, wow.
Yeah.
I think about you guys in Las Vegas often, what it's like for those people whose fortunes ride, you know, fall and rise based on, you know, something so random in a given game. I mean, what it must have been like in Las Vegas for the people with lots of money in the game on Game 7 of the World Series the other night, to see that going back and forth and being tied up and then extra innings and then the rain delay. I bet there were a lot of people just sweating bullets during that game, RJ.
You know, it's surprising, but not so much. Now, obviously, those who did bet the game, they were sweating bullets. But that game actually had about half the action as some of the earlier games in the series.
Really?
And the speculation was that there was so much emotion riding on it for so many people. Even if you weren't a Cubs fan, you understood how important it was.
Right.
That people didn't need that incremental, that extra, you know, emotion. And that's what's so great about Vegas, right? It's a Tuesday night game on ESPN. No one really cares. You throw $20 on it or whatever matters to you. And now all of a sudden you kind of get some artificial interest in the game. Well, there's a handful of games a year you don't need that artificial interest. And I think it was really interesting that the betting on that Game 7 wasn't near as much as you might think.
That is a surprise. Huh. All right, let's take a look at Week 9 in the NFL. You're not suggesting that the Browns will beat the Cowboys, but you're saying you give them 7.5 and then you make some money on them. That's your underdog pick.
Yeah, we're always going with the spread. I would not be shocked, though, if the Browns won this game. I mean, listen, Dak. You turn on talk radio, sports, that's what you're hearing mostly. And there's no doubt Dallas has played better than expected. That's the easy answer. But that doesn't matter to Vegas. What matters is how good are they relative to public perception. And I think it was just a little too much excitement about the Cowboys. This is the biggest road favorite for Dallas since 2009. And Dallas does not historically respond well to success. There's many trends that show this, but here's the biggest one this week. Dallas, when they're favored, like they are this week, and last week they were favored and they won the game. That's what they did, right? Against the Eagles. In the next game, this game, 3-14 against the spread. So when they do have a lot of success, they tend to drop off. Now listen, the Browns, they're the opposite of success. That means, I think that's a fair statement.
That's the most truthful thing you've ever said, RJ.
It's the most truthful thing ever said. But if you think about it, that means they're being so cheap right now, and that's what a good investment is, buying them cheap. This is an amazing stat. League-wide, if you go back to 1992, week six or later, any season, take a winless team. Those teams have covered the spread 63% of the time. So let's think about this now. 20-plus years back, anytime you're a decent way into the season and a team is winless, if you play on them, you would win 63% of the time against the Vegas spread. It goes to show you, you want to hold your nose and play these bad teams? Well, we're going to hold our nose and play the Browns.
But you got to wear like a baseball hat and sunglasses so people don't know who you are when you're betting on them, right?
No, you know, actually, if you're a wise guy, you're kind of proud of the contrarian bets, right? You know, and when the time you want to hide is when you're betting with the public, because sometimes the wise guys agree with the public, but wise guys are uncomfortable betting with the public.
It's so interesting to talk to you every week, RJ, because there's so many things that you say and you've got numbers to back it up that are just counterintuitive to us, the average bettor. All right, let's move on to the best bet of the weekend. You're going with the Eagles game again, this time the New York Giants minus 2.5 versus Philadelphia. What's that deal?
Yeah, no one said I'm not stubborn. I'll keep bucking a team if I have to. Listen, we're just talking about one factor in this game because it's so important, and that's turnover. turnovers. Now, turnovers, you know, fumbles, interceptions. If you can tell me the turnover winner in a game, I'll tell you who covers the spread 77% of the time. That's amazing. Just give me one stat, and I'll tell you 77% of the time. So if you look at the season, Philly is plus six in turnovers. That's the fifth best in the NFL, so you think that's good, right? And the Giants are minus seven. There's only two teams worse in the NFL. You think that's bad, right? So obviously you want to play Philly. No. Here's what the pros understand. Turnovers have a huge element of luck. Think about it. Fumbles are bouncing. Which way do they go? Tip passes, sometimes intercepted, sometimes not. So think about it. There's this huge factor in NFL outcomes that are a big chunk of luck. It's not pure luck, but there's a lot of luck in turnovers. So what does that mean? The teams who have actually done well so far with turnovers are probably overrated because that big factor they're benefiting from. And the flip side is teams that do poorly in turnovers are likely underrated. So if you think about it, Philly being one of the best in turnovers is not a good thing moving forward. Giants being one of the worst is a good thing moving forward. These teams have the same record. Giants are likely the better team. And we are at home with the Giants laying less than a field goal. That's our best bet.
Everything you just said sounded like nonsense.
What?
I understand that you're the expert and I'm not, but...
Explain. No, let's take a side. I know we got to...
Because you said the teams that have the great turnover ratio, it's not good for them. And the teams that have a horrible turnover ratio, it is good for them.
It's good for... it's good for them. In hindsight, they won those games. Let me give you an example. Okay. Imagine you guys are going against... You got ratings, right? Against a competitor. But imagine they have the Olympics or something on their station.
Right.
That month... They might do better than you.
Right.
So someone looks and says, oh, Kevin and Bean's no good. But really, if you dig deeper, you realize there was this artificial influence that won't repeat itself in the future. That's what's going on here. Turnovers do not repeat themselves in the future, but it has a huge influence. Thus, you want to fade those results.
All right.
That makes sense. I get you. All right, the big game special. You think the Oakland Raiders and our fans, by the way, we're hearing from them every week that love the Raiders and how exciting this winning season has been for them, but you think they are one of the most overrated teams, and you've got the Broncos plus 1.5 versus Oakland.
Yeah, this is the big game special Sunday night, and another example of a big element of luck is winning close games. Think about New England, Arizona, right? We got an Arizona fan with us. There was a field goal at the very end of the game, 40-some yarder, and if they made it, oh, Arizona wins. They're the best. Oh, they missed it. Oh, New England's the best. Really, how much did that field goal have to do with how good those teams were? But people get obsessed with the wins and the losses. The Raiders are 5-1 in games decided by a touchdown or less. Now, unless you want to say, oh, they're clutch, it's like, ah, Vegas guys don't really believe in clutch. They just think it evens out in the long run. How differently would we view the Raiders if they were 3-3 in those games instead of 5-1? And what's also not talked about enough is the Raiders' home field. The reality is there's a better than 50% chance by most accounts Raiders are going to move to Vegas. I'm excited about that, but the Raiders fans are not happy about that. And here's an amazing stat. If all you did was play the visitor in Raiders games, so when the Raiders are at home, you play their opponent. When the Raiders are on the road, you play them, right? So you play the visitor.
Okay.
You would have covered 14 straight games in Raider games. So now the Raiders are home. We want to play the visitor. One last thing. Broncos have won 15 of 16 divisional road games. That's an NFL record. They're 14-2 against the spread in those games. I expect Denver to win this game, and we're getting 1.5. That's just a bonus.
All right, that's your big game special then, and the best bet was the Giants minus 2.5 versus the Eagles. Big underdog is the Browns plus 7.5 versus Cowboys. And just a quick word about the Rams, who have the Panthers this weekend, before we let you go, RJ.
Yeah, so this is really one of the first times this year the Rams are in a good spot. I mean, they had to play 4 out of 5 games on the road. One of those games was the London game. That's really tough. Finally, they're off a bye, so I think you're going to see a good performance from the Rams, but I don't like them against the spread. I think it's right; the spread's about right, because I think Carolina's a team. They're still in the playoff hunt. They had a really good win. They had a bye, then they had a really good win against Arizona last week, and I think the Panthers are one of the top 10 teams in the NFL. A lot of people are shocked by that, 2-5, but once again, I think it's somewhat deceiving. So I think the line's about right. I think there's pro-Rams stuff and pro-Carolina, so I'm going to stay away.
You can read about this and so much more with all the games this weekend, including college at pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. We've been talking to our friend R.J. Bell, the founder. Follow him on Twitter and let him know how you do if you're putting money down on his picks here on the Kevin Bean Show at R.J. in Vegas. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
I just decided I'm going to vote so many times on Tuesday. You can't get your head around how many times I'm going to vote.
I don't think you can do that.
It's going to be amazing. Sure I might personally pick the president on Tuesday. I'm going to vote so many times.
I feel like that's going to happen.
Well, we'll find out. Okay. 8 o'clock this morning, we do have a representative on from L.A. County Voting who will tell us how we can rig the polls. I think that's why he's coming in, is to tell us how we
He's going to explain that it's not really possible.
Really? All right.
I think,
well,
yeah.
We'll agree to disagree.
All right.
Speaking of the news, I thought this was interesting. For as much progress as some progressives say the Pope has made with his relaxed standards about things that have been kind of canon in the Catholic Church for so many years, you know, his being open to homosexuals, for instance, being Catholic, that sort of thing. A lot of people thought, well, the Pope is really he's really moving into the future here. A little bit too fast for some people. Well, he did something this past week that was a surprise to a lot of people, where he came out and he said that a woman will never be a priest. St. John Paul II had the last clear word on this, and it stands, he said. Forever and ever. Never, never. Women will never be priests. And a lot of people have said, hey, unfair, dude. Right? Let women be priests if they want to be priests.
But he's even ruling out considering it.
Yes. Yes. He's saying it's not going to be the case. And I'm so surprised, because he seems like a guy who's into equality. I'm so surprised why he says they will be banned from the priesthood forever. So we asked Dave if he could dial up the hotline to the Vatican. And I believe we do have our good friend Pope Francis. It's been a while since we've had the Pontiff on, but I believe he joins us from Vatican City right now. Hello, Your Holiness. How are you, sir?
Good morning, my children. How are you?
Well, it's great. I feel like we haven't talked to you in a long time. How you been?
It has been a while. It is great to be talking to you again, and I'm perfect, pretty much.
Well, you are awfully popey.
I am infallible, so that's, right? I got that going for me.
So, you didn't spend a lot of time explaining how you arrived at your decision, but why did you say that women cannot be priests?
Come on.
Right. What do you mean, come on?
Women priests, come on.
Yes, but why not?
Come on, who's with me?
Well, I think we're trying to understand why. I mean, women can love the Lord and can be good Catholics and can comfort others and do all the things that priests do.
Great, let them do it. But they won't ever be priests. Come on, let's face it.
But but we're asking why.
Well, first of all, you don't want to have to worry about putting the toilet seat down in the Vatican, okay?
I'm sorry.
For centuries and centuries, we were able to leave the seat up and nobody complained.
I'm sorry, that's first of all?
That's the first one.
Okay.
It's like, you think I want to hear, I fell in, you left the seat up, you're in so much trouble, Pope. I don't want to have to deal with that.
So a lady could come to you and say, make me a priest, and I promise to always put the seat down, and you'd be okay with that?
I'm confused. I got to put the seat down, or she's going to put the seat down?
Wait. What is she
promising again?
She'll put the seat down.
She'll put the seat
so
down.
So it's not on you.
Will. That's how she goes to go to the bathroom.
Right. So what I'm saying is, I feel like we're going into the weeds here. You can do whatever you want with the seat, Pope, and then she'll always put the seat down and not complain if you leave it up.
Oh, she'll take care of the seat herself, you're
That's
saying.
What I'm saying. She'll be in charge of the seat. Would that be okay? Can she then be a priest?
Good luck with that, right? Like, that's going to last 2 weeks, and then the next thing you know, it's like, you're such a problem. Listen, let me tell you something, okay?
Yes. Okay, yes.
First of all, nobody respects women more than I do, okay? Oh,
really?
Nobody. Man.
Right.
And here's the thing. Sometimes, if there's a woman around in the church, I have to take a tic-tac, because I am just attracted to the beauty of their soul. Right away, I can't help myself. Sometimes I need the tic-tac, because I will go up and I will just start taking their confession right away. I don't even ask. I just start taking their confession. It's unbelievable.
Okay. Walking a very dangerous line here, Your Holiness.
I will grab them by the soul. I'll grab them by the soul, and they let me do it, because I'm the Pope, and I can get away with it. I can do anything. It's amazing.
You are the Pope, yeah.
But I love women.
Right.
And
but never priests, ever, ever.
Never priests. Because really, there's no hot chicks want to be a priest, first of all, okay? You're not going to get
well, I don't think anyone said anything about hot.
You're not
getting the
top drawer, okay?
But that's not the high. That shouldn't be the hiring standard, is how attractive they are. It should be their willingness to commit to the Catholic Church.
Right. Wink, wink. I hear you. Absolutely. I'm with you, okay?
This time, Monday morning, you'll know it all. You'll have all the answers on the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. It is fast approaching. It's like a sled, Kevin, that's going down the hill, and then at the bottom of the hill.
I feel like this time Monday morning, you'll have all the details. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Okay. Monday morning, 7:15, we'll fill you in on everything you need to know about the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas 2016. Right now, though, here on a Friday, how about a little What's Up with Florida?
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Call it a lot of things. The Sunshine State, America's Penis is my favorite, but Florida is where all the great news stories seem to be coming out of now more than ever. And our friend Haffy is back in the news. Kevin, did you see the photo of Haffy that I just tweeted out?
I did. I don't know how Haffy is still alive.
I don't either. They call him Haffy because he lost half his head in a car accident as a teenager.
And not one of the sides, but just the entire top of his head is gone.
It looks like, and Patriots fans will yell at me for this, but it looks like a deflated football, doesn't it? It looks like a football. You let about half the air out, and you just squish the top of it down. That's what this man has on his head. Well, he is now 31 years old. He became famous, by the way, back in 2010 when he was arrested for soliciting a prostitute. And that picture that I tweeted is his mugshot from that arrest. And a lot of people thought, this guy can't be alive. Like you said, this can't be real. Haffy cannot walk around like that.
Let Haffy get some. Come on.
I know, right? For God's sakes. He's back in the news, and I think this is even more of a BS charge because he was arrested on Monday after allegedly setting his mattress on fire outside of his house. Now, I have a lot of questions as to why Haffy would drag his mattress outside and set it on fire. But they're charging him. Listen to this, Kevin. Tell me if the state of Florida is not just coming down on him. They're charging him with attempted murder because the bonfire that resulted from the fire on the mattress was close to his neighbor's house. There's no indication from anything I've read that it was an attack on his neighbor or that he was trying to burn his neighbor's house down. Seems like it'd be a lot easier to just set fire to his neighbor's house if that's what he wanted to do and not his own mattress in his own front yard.
That doesn't even make sense.
I feel like they're just coming down on Haffy. I mean, like, give the guy a break, right? According to his arrest report, the blaze posed an immediate threat to the lives and safeties of the occupants of the nearby duplex. It is not yet clear why he set the mattress alight, but I think we need to try to get Haffy on the show because I got a bunch of questions for this dude. Here's an unusual story out of Florida that also involves the police, but this time it's the police officer. He was going over some traffic surveillance videos, and he saw a car that looked a lot like his on the video making an illegal right turn. He looked at the license plate on the video and realized it was, in fact, his car. So he walked out, confirmed it was his, and paid a $160 ticket that no one had given him.
What?
Because he saw himself on a traffic surveillance tape.
I thought you were going to say he erased it.
Nope.
He paid it.
He did. I've always been taught that if you've done something wrong, you have to take responsibility for what you've done and accept your punishment. In this part, I was paying my fine and getting my letter of reprimand. In other words, he was the one in charge of looking at the surveillance videos. No one else would have ever seen it, and if they had, they wouldn't have even recognized his car. But he's the guy who did it, and he's the guy who paid
it. I feel like that's too honest.
How bizarre is
that
story? Sometimes, this is what I'm saying. Florida amazes me every day for lots of reasons I can't see coming. We go to Orlando now. Police in Florida are searching for a man who was allegedly leaving a strip club when he fell out of his truck and ran over his own legs. Now, that doesn't seem to me like a guy who's going to be difficult to find, I would think, right? He was pulling out of the parking lot when the incident happened around 2:15 a.m. on Tuesday. The truck continued to cross a highway and crashed into a duplex, according to NBC News. A man in the duplex said his mom was sleeping when the impact of the crash knocked her to the ground. She has minor injuries to her neck, but otherwise she's fine. According to Florida Highway Patrol, the suspect also left his ID at the strip club. He's a 28-year-old man from Castleberry, Florida, who left the scene. Seems like he's... I said he'd be tough to find.
Sure.
Not going to be tough to find. Yeah. He left his ID behind. You don't want to run over your own legs at 2:15 in the morning in the parking lot of a strip club.
That's a good tip.
I think so, too. Here's a medical note out of Gainesville, Florida. And this one was a real surprise to me because I don't think there are, I mean, I feel like there are a lot of people who drink a lot of energy drinks. That's just how they get through their long days.
Right.
This guy is 50 years old. He was drinking 4 to 5 energy drinks every day. Now, that seems like a lot. But does that seem like the type of thing, Kevin, that would give you hepatitis?
No, I don't understand how that would work.
He developed liver failure after drinking too many energy drinks, 4 to 5 every day for about 3 weeks. He soon began to develop abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, and dark urine. A biopsy of his liver showed severe hepatitis from the excessive consumption of niacin. Each bottle of energy drink contains about 40 milligrams of niacin, which is 200% of the recommended daily value, and he was drinking 4 or 5 of them. He's now being monitored closely by doctors and has discontinued all use of energy drinks. I feel like if energy drinks can give you hepatitis, maybe they ought to put that in bigger letters on the can. Like, isn't that the type of thing maybe they should make sure you know?
A little
you can't
more of
drink
a warning?
That many? Yeah. And finally, out of Boynton Beach, a 56-year-old man was arrested this past Monday after police say he drove naked through his neighborhood with electrical wires attached to his genitals.
Someone that guy called, just likes to live life on the edge.
Right? I bet he's in the Zero Club, too. This guy's nothing but thrills behind the wheel. Someone called police after Kurt Allen Jenkins reportedly slowed his white 4-door Toyota and made sexual advances to a person in the street. The person declined his offer to climb in, but did snap a picture of him to show to city police. Jenkins continued his slow drive through the neighborhood west of Congress Avenue, south of Minor Road, again in Boynton Beach, as school-age children got off the bus.
Oh, man.
Two marked police cars were needed to pull the man over, who reluctantly stepped out of his car. At that point, he had pulled up the red shorts that he had on around his ankles. No explanation as to why he had electrical wires attached to his genitals. And how is that any better for whoever gets in the car with him? Like, what does he think the upside of getting into the car with a guy who's wired for electricity is going to be?
I can't really put myself in that mindset.
He is charged with lewd behavior in front of children, indecent exposure, and resisting an officer without violence, according to jail records. So we'll keep our eyes peeled and see if we can get an explanation as to what's going on with him and why Haffy was putting his mattress on fire. A lot of questions out of this edition of Kevin and Bean's What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
That means it's time for another look at the showbiz beat with our friend Ralph Garman here on a Friday. What's going on?
Think this election can't get any scarier? Wrong. 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 Just did.
Wrong.
Campaign signs appearing around Bangor, Maine, asking people to vote for Pennywise, the evil clown from Stephen King's novel, It.
Hey, Georgie. Everything floats down here. You want a balloon?
Vote Pennywise. It is rigged against Pennywise. The lamestream media
right?
won't tell you the truth.
I didn't even know he was running. That's how
See?
Out of touch I am.
All those third-party candidates getting all the attention. Jill Stein and Gary Where's Aleppo Johnson. What about our boy?
Nickname.
What our boy Pennywise? Now the Steins, admittedly, don't say which office Pennywise is running for.
Mm.
They simply show a picture of Pennywise with the message "Vote Pennywise." Now, some of this may have to do with the fact that Stephen King himself lives in Bangor, Maine, and he recently tweeted a picture of himself standing in front of the signs, looking very happy.
Did he put them up?
I don't believe he did.
Okay,
but I think he's not unhappy that they're out there.
I'm going to create jobs, Georgie.
Right? That's what you want to hear, the State of the Union?
Agreed.
Here's the State of the Union. Everything floats down here.
Right?
So all these creepy clown sightings may just be Pennywise's attempt to get the vote out.
He's got the troops on the streets. That's right? All. He's just trying to get the word out.
Starting to make sense.
Nobody knows anything about this. Slowly talking.
Wrong.
Hey, earworms, right?
Right.
Earworms.
Earworms.
You know what they are. They're those freaking songs that you just can't get out of your head.
They're always the worst, too. They're always the worst songs, it seems like.
I beg to differ. I think earwigs are the best songs.
Really?
Yes. Because, first of all, they have a short, fast, simple hook that usually jumps several octaves, or there's bits that are repeated a whole lot in a short period of time. And they are catchy, and that's what causes these songs to get stuck in your head. The New York Times has a story out from the American Psychological Association's Journal of Psychological Aesthetics, Creativity, and the Arts. You read
you
that,
come
that
on. Still, right,
you get
Kevin?
That, Kevin, don't you? They released a new study in the American Psychological Association's Journal Psychology of Aesthetics, Creativity, and the Arts.
They're just trying to show off with big words now.
Called Dissecting an Earworm, Melodic Features and Song Popularity Predict Involuntary Musical Imagery.
I can eliminate all this work and just say the song's catchy.
Oh, but it's going downhill in a sled with no brakes, I bet. That's what it's like when you're listening to that song. Don't tell me how you want to simplify things. They gave 9 examples of what they think are currently the most effective earwigs. You want to hear them?
Sure. Yes.
All right, hit me with the first one. Right? That's going to be in your head now.
Sure.
Poker face.
But I think Kevin is right in that, not that they're bad songs, but oftentimes the earwigs, the songs that get stuck in your head, are not songs that you like.
You may not like it, but it doesn't make it bad.
Agreed.
Like Alejandro, another Gaga song. Don't go my name. Ah, I love that when it was My Isla Bonita.
It is identical.
Bohemian Rhapsody from Queen. I'd like to have that stuck in my head all day.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I'll take that all day long. This one I could do without. I love her, but I don't need this stuck in my head all day.
Yeah. Daisy Duke's
bikinis. They say it's the rhythm and the spiking of the octaves that causes it. Hey, let's give some love to Maroon 5. You with them moves like Jagger. I've got them moves
like Jagger. I've got them moves. Pretty hooky.
That's an earwig.
Now, if we have all
earworm,
these I think. Earworm, right?
Earworm, yeah. Earwigs are very different.
Earworms, which one is going to stick over the weekend? One of them.
All of them. Like
all
one
of
big
them.
Worm salad. This is one we used to play a ton here at K-Rock, and I know it stuck in my head all day long when we played it.
Oh, sure. I wonder if this information, I can't imagine this would make it easier for somebody to write a song like that, because everybody's trying to write a song like that that's catchy, that everybody remembers, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's a formula. It just seems to be they can identify it when it happens. Don't stop believing. Number 3.
Damn catchy.
It's crazy how that song has just lasted and survived because of its damn catchiness.
At one time, until fairly recently, I think it was the best-selling song of all time on iTunes.
I
no
believe
kidding.
It. I believe it. How about number 2? Kylie Minogue.
Love that song.
Wouldn't expect that to be number 2. But maybe Can't Get You Out of My Head is subliminally sort of a suggestion that creates an earworm. It's folding in on itself. And number 1, Gaga again hits the top of the charts with this. No, that's not.
That's not her?
That's catchy, though. It is in my head. That sounds like something that should be being sung in some sort of cult before they slit the throat of a goat on an altar or something. It sounds like some sort of ancient druid religious practice, and those words will summon up the hell spawn from the moss quarry.
Okay. And I'm Mr. Bad Example.
I'll have to get back to you on that.
She had 3 out of the top 10?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Just therein lies the key to her success.
Huh.
She creates songs that when you hear them, immediately it bed into your brain. Then what do? You'd be like Haffy. You gotta take some of that brain out, or let's go with Gaga songs.
I think you want to be like Haffy.
And Columbia Pictures has announced they're rebooting the classic 1997 schlockfest Starship Troopers.
Yes!
The King? Who's weighing in with his excitement?
King. King loves Starship Troopers. It's awful. It's an awful film. It's unbearable.
It does seem. It seems like it's on TV at any time of the day or night, Ralph. It's always on a channel.
It is, and it's unwatchable. It's Casper Van Dien and Denise Richards, the two thespian powerhouses in the leads of that film, are just crazy bad. And the
I don't even remember it.
Schlocky effects and... I think there's a chance to make it better is what I'm saying.
Kevin, you own it, I assume, right?
I do not.
Really?
I do not.
Based, of course, on the famous book by sci-fi writer Robert Heinlein, looks like they're going to reboot it. No word on casting yet, but that could use a polish. So I think maybe that's a good choice. I'm not a big reboot, remake guy usually, but here's my theory. That's what you should do. If you're going to reboot or remake films, find the bad ones.
Yeah,
look at the
crappy
films that you say, oh, that was kind of a good concept, but it just failed in the execution. Let's take that and put that up again. But there's no money in that because they want you to see the movie that you loved and spend a lot of money on the first time, right? Today's celebrity birthday is Matthew McConaughey is 47 years old today. Rapper P. Diddy Combs.
Also, are you not entertained?
Also,
are you not entertained?
Also 47. Jeff Probst, your host of Survivor, is 54 years old today. Ralph Macchio turns 55, and our pal comedian Kathy Griffin celebrates her 56th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I am very excited to welcome our next guest to the studio. He has over 25 years' experience in elections, administration, records management, and public service. He is currently the Los Angeles County Registrar Recorder. Ladies and gentlemen, Dean Logan steps in. Hey, Dean, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who's going to win?
More days.
Seriously, though. I mean, seriously. This election has to be over.
It does.
I mean, come on with this, with the whole election, right?
Dean, we're getting close?
We are getting close. And in fact, a lot of the votes are already cast. But
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. Okay. And does it tell us anything at all? How does this compare to previous years in your experience, sir, with how many people have voted early and voted by mail?
Yeah, I mean, every election is a little bit different. I think this one, obviously, a lot of different dynamics in this election.
Sure.
I think that we are seeing a continuing trend of people who want to vote early or vote by mail. And I think, quite frankly, one of the dynamics, not the only dynamic, but one of the dynamics in this one is the one we're talking about. I think there are people that are just done with this. They want to cast their ballot and have it over.
Vote early and vote often.
Just once.
Just once.
Oh. All right. Here's one of my questions, because I voted by mail to my home state where I am registered to vote in the state of Washington. So I sent mine via mail. And when do they count those? Because you don't have to have them postmarked until election day.
Right.
So it seems like they would be arriving in some cases the day after the election or 2 days after the election. How are they even counted?
That's right. Well, in California, your ballot will still be valid as long as it's postmarked and received within 3 days of the election. So the vote-by-mail ballots that are received in our office through today, it's Friday before the election, those ballots will be processed and counted. They will be the first results that come out election night after the polls close at 8. Then that'll be followed by the people who vote at the polls. And then the rest of those vote-by-mail ballots and provisional ballots will be counted during the post-election canvass period. In California, we actually take 28 days to certify the election. So we won't actually certify this election until 2nd of December.
So you do count them all.
It's not over. It's not over next week.
Even if you declared a winner, you still continue to count ballots.
Well, we don't declare the winners until we certify. Yeah, it's our friends in the media
slackers.
That make those.
We are complete slackers.
It takes us a month.
Right. That's funny. All right, Dean, this election, as you mentioned, every election is different, but this election more so than ever, because there is a candidate who's running for president who is suggesting that the system is rigged and
Wrong.
The election will be stolen.
Wrong.
And a lot of people, more than in previous years, are concerned that that is possible.
Wrong.
Can you kind of break down some of the ways that people think the election can be stolen and tell us whether they're true or not?
Sure. I mean, I think the first thing that I would say is you got to put that into perspective. I mean, a lot of that is campaign rhetoric, and what is the definition of the system? I mean, that's a big phrase, and I think a lot of that relates to the campaigns, how elections are or campaigns are financed, that type of thing. But you're right. This is probably the first time that we've had a national candidate suggest that the actual mechanics of running elections may be in question.
Is it possible to rig the election?
You know, it's not. I mean, is it possible to break the law and do wrong things? Sure. But the ability to go in into a process that is so decentralized, I mean, there are literally thousands of local election jurisdictions across this country that are doing the work that my office is doing here in L.A. to infiltrate that and try to affect the outcome of the election is just logistically and virtually impossible without it being detected.
But in battleground states where the race is close, wouldn't it be conceivable that somebody could put 10,000 votes for one candidate or the other in play somehow?
Yeah, I don't think you could do that without that being very obvious of what was going on. I mean, you're going to see when you look at those precinct by precinct results from individual neighborhoods, you can look at that and you're going to see where there are sudden jumps and where all the votes are going to one candidate or where there are more votes than there are voters. I mean, that's
just a heads up, and then you can do more research on, you know.
Exactly. I mean, it's all transparent. I mean, you look at that data, you go back and take it. That's why we here in California have this crazy 28 days after the election to go through all that. That's exactly what we're doing. We actually do a 1% manual count where we go back and hand count the ballots to make sure that
1%.
1%.
You guys are on it.
Well, hey, 1% of 5.1 million registered voters here. So
it's still
keep
a lot of counting.
Yeah.
All right. In a world where Russia is reading all of my emails, why couldn't Russia somehow hack into this election equipment and influence the vote that way?
Because the equipment is not connected to the internet in any way. I mean, so the ballots are paper ballots, hand marked by the voters, securely transported. It's very. In some respects, a very archaic system, but it is manual, it's verifiable, and those ballots come in, they're run through tabulators that are on a closed network that's not connected to the internet. There is no way for anybody to tap into that.
Okay.
So it literally is not possible to rig the election because there's just too many variables.
I would say it's not possible to do it without being detected and without you know, putting yourself out there and clearly showing that you're trying to disrupt the process. And we haven't seen anything to indicate that's happening in this election.
Refresh my memory, Dean. And by the way, if you're just joining us here on the Kevin Bean Show, we're talking to a smart adult. His name is Dean Logan. He is the Los Angeles County Register Recorder. Talking about this Tuesday's election. Is California a state where you are required to show ID before you vote?
It is not. In California, we verify the identification of voters at the time that they register to vote. We run them through, check them to their California driver's license or their last four digits of their Social Security number. But when you show up to vote, you sign a legal oath saying that you are who you say you are and that you haven't cast a ballot anywhere else. And
why?
Well, I mean, that's...
Why don't they ask for ID?
Yeah, why?
Because
It
seems like if Kevin wanted to, he could go around to 10 different places and give 10 different neighbors' names and vote for that person, as long as he was willing to, you know, perjure himself by signing his name.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of falls into the conspiracy theory column. I mean, you would have to go and risk that the person that you're saying you are hasn't already voted.
Kevin would have already killed that
person. Or voted a vote-by-mail ballot.
How dare you?
And you're doing that in a very public manner where it's traceable. So you're basically breaking the law. And if you look at the trends of voting in this country, we don't have a crisis of people trying to overvote. We have trouble getting people to show up and vote in the first place.
What about you hear all the dead people voting? What about that?
Well, obviously,
what's the process for dead people to vote?
Obviously, dead people can't vote.
Okay, all right.
You know, that's another one of those things that kind of creeps up the week before the election every 4 years. The reality is that, again, we remove people based on records of death records from the Department of Public Health. We do that on a regular basis, but that's a data matching process, and if we don't have the exact match data, it's possible that person's going to stay on the rolls for a while until we have confirmation from a family member or some record. But there is no evidence to show that those people are actually casting ballots. So
if a person casts their ballot, they mail it in and then die, it still counts, right?
It does. So they were alive and well and legally able to vote when they cast that ballot, and that ballot will be counted.
Dean, there was a story in the news this week. I don't have it in front of me, but it seemed to me it was down in San Pedro where a guy had a whole bunch of ballots for this election show up on his doorstep. And it was like a neighbor's address, but it was 90 ballots or something like that, all with different names on it. Yeah. Does that sound familiar at all to you?
It's very familiar. So this is actually a good example of the danger of the kind of rhetoric we're hearing in this election, because what this situation is, it's not a good situation. It's a bug in the system that when we when our operators were reissuing a vote-by-mail ballot to a voter who legitimately asked that, the system duplicated that address onto other records and mailed ballots to them. That's not good, and we detected the bug, and it's been corrected. But it's not fraud, and it's not a rigged system. And that's the problem with the rhetoric, is that, that there's such a thirst now for people to think that the system is rigged, that any mistake is going to lead people to believe that. So it's concerning, and we have good records. We were able to contact all of those 80 voters. The person who received those did the right thing. They contacted the post office. We got the ballots back. We contacted the rest of the voters, and all of those people will be able to vote on Tuesday.
This is the one you're willing to admit to, but what about all the other ballots out there that you're still hiding, Dean? Do you fight that exact same thing, which is that the government is evil and or just unable to do things well, and they distrust it?
Sure.
Just, I mean, in general.
There's absolutely an element out there that feels that way, and
they're
we,
right.
we fight that cynicism.
I mean, they're right for a lot of times they're right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact is that elections process is probably the most transparent thing in government. On Tuesday night, if you want to sit in front of your monitor and watch a live stream of us processing the ballots, you can do that.
Don't
want to
do that.
Not very exciting.
Got to be honest.
But,
I'm not into that.
But I
is New Girl in Brooklyn 99 still on?
But this is exactly why my office engages on social media, because, I mean, we're this giant county, 5.1 million registered voters. It's easy for people just to be cynical about the process. So social media actually has given us the ability to at least have personal conversations with some of these people. And it's amazing when they realize that while we are actually listening to them and addressing their concerns, it turns that around, and that kind of takes on a life of its own as well.
Okay, last question, because we're out of time, Dean. You're very kind to come down here. We really do appreciate it. And that is, I want to ask you a voter intimidation question, because, again, soon-to-be President Trump is encouraging his supporters to personally monitor voting
Wrong.
At spots all over
Wrong.
America. They're saying, go out there and make sure, like, keep your eyes open. Can
Wrong.
Somebody just go down and just hang out, a private citizen, and just watch other people vote if they want?
Just give them the stink eye?
Yeah, in California, anyone can monitor the election process. It is an open process. What they cannot do is interfere with the ability of a voter to cast their ballot or intimidate them. So voters should be aware of that there probably will be people out there, poll observers, and we're in contact with them. In some ways, they help us. They're our eyes and ears at 5,000 different places on election day. But they cannot interfere with voters. They cannot be within eyesight of the marking of the ballot. And if they do that, then we're going to deal with that fairly quickly.
Can they bring a baseball bat wrapped in the barbed wire?
That's probably not a good idea.
Okay, so don't do that.
It's a good question, though.
How can people contact you, Dean, if they're if they have other questions or just want to follow along with what you're doing?
The best way at this point to get information from us is through our website at lavote.net. If you're into social media, our Twitter account and our Facebook account are listed on there as well. Our 800 number is 800-815-2666. Obviously, busy time, a lot of calls coming in.
But you'll get back to us after the new year if we contact you.
Absolutely. But again, a lot of resources on the website, so that's where I would encourage people to go first.
Do you promise that the election will be over after Tuesday? Because I can't take it.
I wish it would be over after Tuesday. I promise.
I'm saying the public's part.
The public's part will be done.
Will be over on Tuesday.
It will be.
Los Angeles County Registrar Recorder, he is Dean Logan. Thank you so much for your time today, sir.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It. Don't forget, Monday morning, 7:15, all the details you need to know about this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 show. Very excited. Can't wait to find out who's going to be playing.
Who's the band?
You'd think that we would know, by the way, but Kevin and Bean don't get told until you get told.
And so. We're not kidding, by the way.
That's not a joke.
They won't tell us anything about
like,
it.
Look, we're good for it. We're not going to spoil it. We're going to wait till Monday.
Radio
nope,
professionals, we have no desire to spoil anything for anyone, but we would like to have a heads up.
Maybe we shouldn't use the word professional. To, I saw this headline, I think it will lead us into what I hope will be an interesting conversation, because I can't imagine a more awkward conversation to have with your neighbor than if you are complaining that they're having loud sex. Like, I would imagine you would really give them a pass for a long time before you would get the nerve to leave a note or knock on their door or give them a call or send them an email.
First, you'd be annoyed. And
right.
Then you'd be annoyed and you would think about doing something. And then you would make up your mind you're going to do something, but still not.
Still wouldn't,
yeah,
right?
It would take a while.
Because you don't ever want to have that conversation, do you? Ever? But here's a story. This is a woman who left a note for her neighbors who were having super loud sex. And here's what the note said. Hello, neighbor. Please have sex a little more quietly, please. Some of us are trying to nap.
and not be reminded how alone I am. Uh-oh, it just got sad, didn't it?
Man.
Feel free to make all the love you want. Just please make it nasty at a lower volume. Yeah. Thank you.
Nasty
so that's, I mean, that's a sweet way to address it, I guess. That's not dickish
sweet,
or anything, right?
Sweet, no, nasty, low.
It's not being a dick, but it's sad.
Well, it's please, a little sad for
you're
the
reminding
lady,
yeah. me. You're reminding me how alone I am.
So I'm sure, as we said, I'm sure it took her, every ounce of courage in her body to leave that note. And she did get a note back from her neighbor. I'm so incredibly sorry about that. I didn't realize how loud I was being. And you know, sometimes having loud sex is kind of hot. But obviously, not at your cost, which I sincerely, again, apologize for. I'm so sorry. I hope this hasn't occurred too often. And thanks so much for the incredible and hilarious card you left. I will be sure to make it nasty, but at a significantly lower level. And don't worry.
Feel free to join us.
And hey, don't worry. You're not alone forever. The right person will come along when the time comes. I was single for 18 years, she says. Ha ha. Once again, I apologize sincerely. Sorry, room 338. And then included along with that an apology chocolate bar that she left for her.
Is that a thing?
Well, it wasn't
nope,
this case.
Ralph.
Nope. That was
nope.
Was
no, sir.
Tainted with love.
No,
tainted love.
No,
so
sir.
Sometimes I feel like I.
No, sir.
So I'm interested in both sides of this equation from the Kevin and Bean audience at 1-800-520-1067. If you've been the person who got the note, I want to know how the information was delivered to you and how you reacted to it and what the relationship was like going forward and if it was awkward and if you stopped and how did you handle it? So you can call. And if you're also the person who has the neighbors who are making all the loud lovemaking, I want to hear from you too. 1-800-520-1067. I guess it shouldn't surprise anyone that when this story broke this week, Ralph said, yeah, I've been there.
How dare you, sir? First of all, I want to know who doesn't love hearing people bone? I think that's awesome.
That's a good question.
Alternately hilarious and or hot. But it's certainly not annoying.
How about if it happened every night? Would you at some point grow tired of that and just want some peace and quiet?
I'm just high-fiving. I'm just high-fiving in the elevator on the way down to work in the morning. That's all.
But so you would never complain about loud lovemaking?
Nah, I love overhearing people do that. It's okay. Awesome. You ever get in a hotel room and you hear the headboard banging next door? It's awesome. I get the glass out and put it to the wall. I want more details. But I have been the recipient of such a letter.
Oh, you got a letter because you were being too loud.
Yes. Sweet. And the thing I like about this story is at least this woman identified herself.
Okay.
She was
the one that you were having sex with?
No.
The woman in this story. The
woman in this story left this card saying, please keep it down. But she obviously said at least what apartment she came from because she got a response and a candy bar, right?
Right.
Mine was a lot more cowardly, I thought.
Okay.
I was living in an apartment complex in Glendale, California at the time. I was living in Glendale. And no air conditioning.
Okay.
In this particular apartment. So the windows were left open quite a bit to get a little cross breeze. And apparently, I guess, there had been some noises emitting from my apartment that some people took umbrage to.
Right.
And so I find one morning, thumbtacked to my door, an angry letter.
Did you at any point think to yourself, wow, we're being pretty loud? Or was this the first time
you're not really outside your body monitoring in those moments,
right.
I don't think. If you're doing it right, you're sort of lost in the moment and you're just sort of...
Let me take that down. You're just doing it right. Lost.
Yeah, you don't really... You say, oh, okay. Wait a minute. Let me check the noise levels on this. You're busy. You're preoccupied with other things.
Sure. And, yeah. and I'm sorry, Ralph. I have a question also. Is at some point, are you so loud that you can't even hear the TV?
TV?
I mean, it feels like it'd be tough to follow the whole show
point.
You're watching or whatever.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Can you imagine?
Now, somehow always brings it back to television.
Yeah. So anyway, I get this letter, and it wasn't nearly as playful or as, non-confrontational as this woman was. It was, who do you think you are, and we have lives, and you're ruining it, and why should we be subjected to your animalistic blah, 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 and it went on and on. And then the bottom, it just said, everyone else in the building.
Whoa.
And I said, first of all, BS.
Right.
This is one person who's cheesed off.
That's
for
almost always
reason.
The case.
Right.
Yes.
It's not everyone else in the building. I don't think they got together in the common area
in the rec room and had a vote and took minutes and they had a big meeting with all the neighbors. I don't think they gathered together and signed this petition.
All in favor of the note? Raise your hand.
Exactly. There's one cheesed off person who was too cowardly to say who they were, and they just said everyone else in the building. And so they released this letter. And I found it humorous and ultimately also sort of chat my ass, too.
So you stepped it up a bit.
So I just... I brought in farm animals, and I had Ferris wheels and all kinds of additional... I started closing the windows when that special time came.
All right, so although it annoyed you that
It did work. It did make me realize that, okay, someone, one cowardly person, is upset by this. So being a decent neighbor, I had to take matters into my own hands, so to speak, and close the windows, no matter how sweaty I got.
Was it embarrassing at all for you to know that others had heard you, had overheard you lovemaking?
No.
Will you stop saying lovemaking?
I don't know. It just drives me.
You sweet love. Just,
you're having sex.
I was having sex, and it was kind of cool. Actually, I thought that I got some attention for what apparently I was putting in
you're
good
doing
work.
Something right.
I was putting in good work. Yeah.
That's right. All right. So that's how Ralph handled it, and you heard the letter that kicked off the story. So 1-800-520-1067. If you've been on either side of this equation, we want to hear your tale next on K-Rock. All right, here's the answer, you guys. We're talking about your neighbors are having loud sex. How do you address it? How awkward and uncomfortable is that conversation? And here's what somebody posted on Facebook. I didn't leave a note on the door of the people that lived in the apartment two doors down, but I did change my Wi-Fi name to "You Have Sex Too Loud." I know, not cowardly at all. But you know what? That message is going to be delivered the next time they get on their Wi-Fi, right?
I guess.
All right, we're taking your calls now at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start in Simi Valley, please? Let's get Devin on the line to get us going.
All right, what line? I'm sorry, did line one. All right.
Why, yes.
Hi, Devin.
Hey.
Hi there.
Okay, so she was so loud and so obnoxious that we had to dub her Moaning Myrtle from the Harry Potter movies.
Okay, and did that help?
No, it was like... all night long, three times a day.
Did you ever say anything to her?
Leave, morning.
Did you ever say anything or leave a note or do anything?
No, we didn't. But we had neighbors that were yelling out the windows, "Shut the F up!" Like, and she would yell out the window, "You only wish your man would do it like this."
And, man.
So it was like Ralph. It was a badge of honor for her.
You know, on some nights, yeah. I mean, when it first started, it might have inspired us a little bit.
But then you realize you couldn't keep up, so you just
had to move on. All right, Devin, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Katie. She's in Fullerton. She's on line three, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Katie.
What's up, Kevin and Bean?
Talking about people who have sex too loud.
I got a text message on October 8th at 1:24 in the morning from my neighbor downstairs. He said, "I don't know which one of the two of you is enjoying yourselves, but genuinely, my couch is shaking. I fear for the structure of the building. Other than that, woohoo, go girl, get some."
Couch is shaking.
That's fantastic. Katie, you keep doing what you're doing because it sounds like you're doing it right.
Yeah.
Plus,
I sort of have a boner.
Right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Riverside. This is going to be Larry. He's up next. He had a pretty ingenious way to tell his neighbors he heard what was going on.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. How'd you let your neighbors know?
So we had just moved into this house, brand new home, new neighborhood, moved in, and, you know, the new homes are close to each other. So our master bedroom was right across from their master bedroom.
Right.
And went at it. They were very active every night, loud, loud, loud.
Right. I mean, I think this is a given. Okay,
that's
go ahead.
That's kind of the premise of why you called.
So basically what we did is we got tired of it. I tape recorded the audio of it one night, and then the next night I played it back for them.
So you just blasted it back in their direction?
Exactly. Never heard them again.
Really? That's
how
a caravan.
How that worked? That's a surprise.
Huh.
I thought they would just get hot all over again from hearing the sounds.
Wow, we sound sexy. Let's do it again.
Exactly. All right, Larry, thank you. Let's go to Alan. He's in Downey. It sounds like he was the one making all the noise. Alan, what's up, man?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
Sure.
So my now wife and I just started dating, and one thing led to another and good stuff happened, and you know, up all night and came back, woke up the morning, went to work, came back from work, had a note stapled to the door from building management, our neighbors filed a noise complaint against us. Well, the awesome part about it, well, I don't know how awesome, but my now mother-in-law is on the lease agreement. So,
so she got a copy of the noise complaint.
Yeah, pretty much. It came up later on when my wife and I decided that we wanted to move in together, and her mother-in-law whipped out the copy of the noise complaint and said, well, I kind of figured you guys had been together for a while.
All right. That's not awkward at all with your girlfriend's mom.
God
knows.
Let's
go to Deborah is up next. She's on line 8, and she's in L.A. I'll try to squeeze in a couple more here. Hey, Deborah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Morning. So I got a note on my door that was really sort of vague and bizarre and said, like, you've got to curtail your evening noises. And I was like, what evening noises? I'm not throwing parties. What is this about? So I went to my building manager, and I guess the little boy, it was like a 5-year-old boy, whose bedroom was on the other side of my wall, thought I was being murdered and had called his father and screaming and crying, Daddy, we've got to call the police. The lady next door is being murdered. And his dad was like, we can't have this. You can't scare my child like this anymore. So that father
actually came to you and said, you are scaring my child.
Well, he went to my building manager and was like, the lady next door has to stop sounding like she's being murdered.
So how did you, so what did you do going forward, Deborah? I mean, did you try to tone it down a little bit?
We just tried to be more quiet.
That's fantastic. And don't you feel like 10 years from now, that little kid is going to be so confused with how he thinks.
Yeah,
true. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's take one more because I like Jeff in Los Angeles. Hey, Jeff.
Morning, guys.
What happened? Were you the one having sex or somebody else was and they were being too loud?
No. So it was like in a courtyard. So like their windows were open and I was doing laundry and it was like they would do it every day, but only like for a short time. So it was like probably like less than 5 minutes. So I just kind of was like, I just yelled at them. I was like, give it to her like you effing mean it.
But you were critiquing the poor guy.
I mean, if you're doing that and it's only lasting a few minutes, I mean, come on.
That's it? That's all you can do? That's all you got? Come on, man.
Exactly. So I was like, if you're going to do it loud.
Do it right. You're not making enough noise. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
It is, and it's Friday, and Ralph Garman is here, and he's got showbiz news for us.
It's Candy Day, by the way. National Candy Day.
All right.
Yeah. How are you celebrating, Kevin?
Should take the day off.
The way you celebrate every day, with just fists full of Jolly Ranchers after the show, jamming them in your maw.
Speaking of candy, I need a ruling from you guys. I know
candy corn blows.
I know you hate candy corn. I was going to say that. I know out of the gate you hate candy corn.
Terrible.
And you're wrong
blows.
Because it's awesome.
Blows.
Terrible.
But I'm at the supermarket last night.
Cute.
And in the half price candy aisle, they're selling candy corn with chocolate and sea salt.
Oh, my God. It just gets worse.
Which I bought a bag of.
Of course you did.
Because it's all things I love. Chocolate, sea salt, and candy corn in one delicious concoction. And I'm
wondering, that sounds bad.
Does it not sound good to you guys?
Because
I think it sounds amazing.
No, God,
I didn't have it last night because I was just getting ready to have dinner. But I'm going to have some. That's my treat at the end of this show. I'm going to dive in. But I just wanted to know what you guys thought. But you're saying probably not.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Look,
yes,
the Brock's company made chocolate sea salt candy corn because they think people will like it.
Because they said maybe if we try to disguise the candy corn with chocolate and sea salt, maybe someone will buy it.
We could cover up the taste.
Right. How do we polish this turd?
I'm very excited.
Chocolate cover it. That's what you do to it.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
Is this before or after you go to the Big Cheesy, Bean?
Going to the Big Cheesy this weekend, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's the Big Cheesy?
Kevin, you were out, but we discovered that Bean has a brand new diet.
Oh. I've fallen in love all over again with grilled cheese sandwiches.
And he goes to the Big Cheesy, which is a little restaurant near him which serves nothing but grilled cheese sandwiches.
You know, I love the grilled cheese, though.
There's like 50 different grilled cheese sandwiches.
I hate to be on Bean's
side.
And
he said that's what he's going to eat from now on. And
just
I said,
full time.
It continues his streak as the healthiest man alive, that his diet will consist solely now of chocolate-covered candy corn and grilled cheese sandwiches.
Nothing but good choices from you, sir.
See? Looking forward to your 100th birthday party, Bean. make sure I'll send you some flowers there at your grave. Hey, this election, this is crazy, huh?
What?
How about politics, right? Who's with me?
is this in the news?
It's almost over. Just grin and bear it, people. Just grit your teeth and just push on till Tuesday.
Just Tuesday, though, right?
Right. And then nothing but just
chaos and riots and gunfire on the 9th. It's going to be
right.
You're going to be praying for the election coverage when you see what happens after the election.
I think you might not be exaggerating there, by the way.
But showbiz and politics still cross-pollinating, this time from funnyordie.com. I don't know if you saw their new video or not.
I've not seen
but
it.
But our good pal, the lovely and talented Rachel Bloom, my crazy ex-girlfriend star.
Mm-hmm. Love her.
She got together with Funny or Die and put together a We Are the World type all-star video.
Right.
With a song called Holy S, You've Got to Vote. And it's Rachel Bloom. Moby is the musical genius behind it.
Okay.
Elizabeth Banks, Jane Lynch, Patti LuPone, Amber Rose, Adam Scott, Felicia Day.
Wow.
That's the strangest grouping of celebrities ever.
Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Melissa Rauch, June Diane Raphael, Paul Shearer, Naya Rivera from Glee. It's a star-studded weird batch, and the song is very funny and very dirty. I don't know how much we can play here on the show, but here's a little taste. I had Omar try to clean it up for you. Here's a little taste of the video you can find over at funnyordie.com called Holy S, You've Got to Vote.
We are the world, and songs are tired.
But Donald Trump is some garbage fire.
And the worst presidential candidate our country's ever seen. So...
you've got to vote.
It's really important.
We already know whose side you'll end on. Facebook filters out dissension. Faces fading into other faces. Told you so. So holy you've got to vote.
Very funny, and above all, it's a great parody of those We Are the World type cause songs. There's a moment where the faces on the screen are fading into each other, and then literally in the lyrics says, faces fading into each other. That's very strong. Don't forget, Daylight Savings Time comes to an end weekend, so
daylight
make sure
time. That's right.
Saturday night you set your clock back. You fall
that's right.
back.
That's right.
Spring forward.
Saturday
so
night, Sunday morning. That's daylight savings.
Before you go to bed Saturday night,
okay.
For daylight savings day to come to a close, you need to set your clock back 1 hour.
It's daylight saving, not saving.
And you get
There's
to
no
sleep in a little bit, a little extra time Sunday morning.
Just say it's the return to standard time. That way you're correct and nobody's
I'm correct by saying it's the end of daylight savings time is correct.
Saving.
We understand what we're saying.
Not right. savings.
Daylight savings time is very simple.
Saving
very simple concept.
We are heading to the end of daylight savings time like a sled going down a hill
right?
with no brakes, and then there's a wall at the bottom.
For some reason, Christmas
and
is down
behind
there.
The wall. Just make a left at Christmas, and there's the end of daylight savings time.
How dare you? Saving. No S.
Cheap. Sorry, cheap.
Chip.
Hey, cheap.
Hey.
has to follow Bean's tweets.
Because we monitor her thanks to that tweet.
Yeah, and she says she's already started drinking. So
I can imagine.
It's my busiest season. You guys know that.
She's like Christmas Eve for Santa Claus. Bean is gearing up to have to paper the world with strongly worded tweets about people who are not using.
Well, and the ones that frustrate me the most are
using an S, by the way, by adding an extra S.
Yeah. Our actual journalism, when you see it in newspapers and news sites.
Don't care.
They should know the difference, though. They should know one is right and one is wrong.
You know why they don't know the difference? Because there is no difference. We know exactly what they're talking about.
Does it mean it's not wrong? Look, if I referred to the 7 games of baseball that were most recently played as the World Series, and all day long all you heard me was talk about how it was the World Series. You guys see the World Series last night?
Yeah, you'd be an idiot. But if everybody called it that.
But that's my point. Is
but
it,
if
yeah,
everybody
you,
called
know
it that.
You know what I mean, but it's still wrong. It's not the World Series. No matter how many times I say it, it's still incorrect. Same deal with daylight savings. You see?
Well, you think we don't understand?
Yes, I do.
Very otherwise different with a word like savings.
Otherwise, you'd be
right.
You'd be fighting the good fight with me if you.
When
understood.
You have a, when you go to a bank, do you open a savings account or a saving account?
You do, but it's a different part of speech. It's not the same.
But is a savings account and or a saving account at a bank the exact same thing? Do you still put your money in there?
Look, you're saving.
Does your money
time.
Not go in if you call it a saving account versus a savings account?
With the daylight saving time, you're saving time. That's how you remember it. You're saving time. Okay?
Right. We have lots of savings. We have lots of savings when it comes to time.
I find it fascinating that this is.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
What?
You can't ever use that word.
What are you talking
on
about?
On the radio. What you just said, even with that S that you added, you can't say that word at all. Ever.
Hey, my God. I'm so excited that Sunday is daylight savings.
Nope. It's the end of daylight saving.
So what's happening?
time. So excited. I can't wait.
Shut up, sir.
Today's celebrity birthday. Kathy Griffin is 56 years old today. Ralph Macchio turns 55. Jeff Probst, host of Survivor, which is so good this season. Millennials versus Gen X. Oh, they hate each other. 54 years old. Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Doo-Wah Diddy Combs is 47. And Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right. 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to take your calls next for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. If you'd like to talk about daylight savings.
What's good? What good? Make be right.
Or anything else. TV shows, entertainment, things that we should be talking about that we're not. It's your chance to get on the show. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next.
The phone lines are open for your comments on any topic. Questions, problems, concerns. 1-800-520-1067. This is Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
All right, we got a good batch of calls here. Why don't we continue the candy corn theme, though, and start with Jody in Huntington Beach. She's up first on line two.
All right. Hey, Jody, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. I have to say, I have been firmly on Ralph's side my whole entire life. Candy corn was the most disgusting thing imaginable.
You're and a wise woman. You're a wise woman, Jody.
I thought I was. Then this crazy thing happened.
No. Do not change your story now.
I saw this beautiful little crystal bowl, and it had a little silver spoon, and inside the bowl were candy corn and roasted peanuts. And I took a little spoonful and tasted them together, and blew my mind. It was like a payday candy bar, which is one of my favorites already, and I was just, I was incredulous. I couldn't believe it. And now I'm thinking maybe the chocolate and the sea salt may also work for me, and I have to consider trying it.
The reason is because it needs the taste of the candy corn needs to be covered up.
If it's something that you need to camouflage with other tasty things, then inherently that means it's not enough.
But maybe for Jody, though, maybe candy corn is an accessory. Maybe it's like ketchup. Like, you guys wouldn't drink ketchup out of the bottle, but you love ketchup on your french fries or on your hamburger. Sometimes there are two tastes that don't work individually, but they go great together. So maybe you would like candy corn and roasted peanuts is what I'm saying.
Mm. Or maybe I would just go right to honey roasted peanuts and cut out the candy corn and just enjoy a good food.
Right.
I like where you're coming from, Jody, and I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Let's go to Greg. He's in Corona. He is one of the lucky people who has already seen the Doctor Strange movie.
Sweet.
Greg, what'd you go to, a midnight screener or something last night?
What's good? No, actually, I was down in Irvine with my buddy, and there is a theater that was showing it at 7 o'clock. So
nice.
It wasn't a midnight screening, but I definitely got to catch it a good time.
All right, without spoiling it for us, tell us your impressions.
It was amazing. It's about a doctor who is strange. I don't know if I am spoiling too much by giving away those details. But
la, 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 la. I can't hear you. I don't want to know anymore.
That's all we want to know, just is that it was great.
It's an amazing movie. Benedict Cumberbatch was great in it. Tilda Swinton was really good in it. The visuals that they did were like beautiful, even beyond the stuff that you saw in the standard trailer, where it was
all right.
Kind of Inception-like. The story was great. Even like the final battle was very kind of, I think it was creatively done compared to, it wasn't like your standard big guy punches other big guy in the face. It was right. Very, I think it was very creatively done and beautifully made.
All right. Well, Marvel knows what they're doing, right? Is this Marvel? This is Marvel, right?
It
absolutely.
Is Marvel, yeah.
So I'm sure everyone out there, they're kind of on the edge. I'm sure it's already going to make $1 billion. Well, maybe not. It's going to make a bunch of money.
Right, we understand what you mean.
But I'm sure people will go and see it. It's not... Go and see it.
All right.
And
oh, thank you,
plus, Eye of Agamotto, right?
God damn right. Damn right, Ralph. Oh, Eye of Agamotto.
There we go.
Wow, Greg just came to life.
Yeah.
Let's go to
you as well.
Alfonso in Southgate. Hi there.
Hey, what's up, guys? I don't know if you guys caught the Kings game last night.
Did?
Yeah, it's another intense overtime win, but I was there at the game, and I couldn't believe how many Pittsburgh fans were there, man.
Yeah they're
they're everywhere. They travel roaches.
Yeah, they really are.
They're vermin. Right,
but in the end, what did they see?
Us winning, of course.
That's correct. Yeah. That is correct. Thank you for the call. There are several teams like that travel well.
I know there are, and there's always going to be, you know, Red Wings fans and some of the other clubs, but the Penguins surprises me a little bit. Is that fairly recent that Pittsburgh really fills up at a Kings game?
I don't think so. No.
Penguins have been good for a long time.
Isn't that something?
They're kind of the Dallas Cowboys of the league. They got fans everywhere that aren't even really from the area. Yeah. Sidney Crosby generated a lot of fan fervor when he first came into the league as a kid, and so a lot of people got on the bandwagon.
Let's go to Javier. He is in Danuba. Did you guys know there's a town called Danuba in California?
I did not know.
Central Valley, I think. Hey, Javier, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Actually, it's Xavier, but that's okay.
Okay. Oh, I apologize.
That's fine. Actually, I'm calling in about a Ray Donovan.
Oh, Ray Donovan, one of my favorite shows on the world.
Yeah, that's why I started watching it, because you and Ellie talking about it so much.
Is that right? So you heard them talking about it, and you thought, well, maybe I should check this out.
Yes.
All right. Exactly. And?
It's awesome. I mean, it's a great show. I mean, I've been streaming it nonstop, trying to get through all the seasons so I can catch up.
How far into it are you right now?
I'm in season 3.
Oh, you got a lot of good stuff still to come then.
Oh, yeah. I'm still quite a bit behind, but it's keeping me very well entertained.
All right.
Okay. I'm glad you're watching.
Good. I'm glad we didn't steer you wrong. Let's do one more.
You're welcome, Showtime.
You guys didn't realize it was a holiday, but Gary is calling us from Corona, and he's going to close out this edition of What's Good with some great news for us.
Gary, today is a holiday?
Woo-hoo! What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
Today is happy 3rd of the 4th of July.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, a 3rd to the 4th of July. Come on.
Wait a minute. You can have
since 8 months till. The 4th of November is always a 3rd of a 4th of July. Come on now. Celebrate.
Is it the 4th of July next year? Can you sell?
What are you banging on?
He's got fireworks.
Are you shooting a gun?
We're shooting fireworks over here in Corona.
If the holiday is next year, can you celebrate now for the 4th of July next year?
But we're one third toward the 4th of July.
It's the 3rd of the 4th of July.
Of 2017.
Bean gets it.
Yeah, Bean gets it. That's your problem.
What's good?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
So right now we're on a sled. We're going down a mountain toward the weekend.
Oh,
and when we get to the bottom, it's
everybody
like
understands
Friday.
The weekend, Bean. Everybody gets
we're
it.
We're just hurtling head into days
right.
off.
Yes.
You get it? Like
right.
a snowball.
We all understand.
We're hurtling like a snowball now.
Right, exactly. Toward the bottom of the mountain, and that's where the weekend is.
Right. The snowball's going down the mountain?
That's correct. Yes, like snowballs do. They pick up speed and then additional snow on top of them while they go.
Okay.
Hey, but we can't get there until Ralph does his final showbiz beat here on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I did mention last hour was Candy Day.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to I got some people complaining, but I forgot to mention that today's also King Tut Day. So just want to make
King
sure.
Tut
King
Day.
Tut Day. Yes. Make sure everyone celebrates King Tut.
Is this the anniversary of the discovery of King Tut?
It is, Bean. On this date in 1922.
This will surprise you, but I had no follow-up questions.
Well, I was trying to figure out why this date of all dates was King Tut.
On this date in 1922, the entrance to King Tutankhamun's tomb was discovered by famous British Egyptologist, Kevin. Which British Egyptologist was?
I got nothing for you.
Really? All you had to do is come up with a name. Put any two names together. Any first name and any last name. That's all you had to do.
Bill John.
A first name and a last name.
That's all I got, man.
Not two first names.
I'm lucky I got that.
Howard Carter, of course, famously.
Sure.
Discovered King Tut's tomb. And when he came to the entrance, he saw that famous saying engraved on the exterior of the tomb's door. And that saying was, Kevin?
All who enter shall not pass.
Very close. Death shall come on swift wings to him who disturbs the peace of the king.
That's basically what I said.
Very, very basically the same.
Now when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy king. How to get the funky?
Funky Tut.
Did you do the monkey?
That's all I know about that whole story.
That's all you need to know.
That's all. Great. Here's my thought. I don't care.
Ah, okay. Well, there's that. Maybe you care about this. This is kind of a big get. Now, of course, King Tut by Steve Martin first originally performed on?
Hee-haw.
Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Saturday Night Live. And Saturday Night Live made a big announcement today that on the November 12th episode, hosting for the first time.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
And we haven't seen him in a long time on television in general.
Dave Chappelle will be hosting Saturday Night Live.
Interesting.
Making his debut on the November 12th episode of that show. A Tribe Called Quest will be the evening's musical guest.
All right. Wow.
You got a twofer right there. Two reasons
that's
to tune in.
That's a hip booking right there.
Listen, I have taken my fair share of shots at Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
I've given them the business, and I think they've deserved it, quite frankly.
Right.
But it would be, I would be remiss, amiss, demiss. I would be bad if I did not also give them kudos where they belong. And I'm telling you, I've watched the past few episodes this season. Really, really strong.
Is that right?
Very funny stuff. The Halloween episode with Tom Hanks. First of all, Tom Hanks is a freaking genius.
Sure.
But their Black Jeopardy sketch with Tom Hanks, genius.
Yes.
The Tower of Horrors Halloween sketch with David S. Pumpkins, genius. I mean, just...
genius enough that now it's must-see for you?
Well, I'm telling you, week after week I go and I'm entertained. So now I'm thinking I got to keep tuning in until they disappoint me again. But the writing has been really sharp, and the performances have always been good. They got an amazing cast over there now with Kate McKinnon and Cicely, what's her last name? Will
Strong.
Strong, and the men are also equally good in the cast. And it's been really, really good for the most part.
How about that?
Well,
that's great. You're a big man to admit that the show is sometimes watchable, Ralph. Because I know that those words would not have come off your tongue maybe a couple of seasons ago.
It's not somewhat watchable. I mean, it's been laugh out loud funny.
You're still not down with the Weekend Update hosts.
No, they're not good.
You still think
they're not good. Boy, the Colin Jost and Michael Che.
It sure makes you miss Tina and Amy, doesn't it?
They sure seem uncomfortable out there. They're sure reading cue cards to save their lives. Just getting by.
You think they'll get better or there's no hope?
I think that they may be time for a change.
Okay.
Maybe time to go to the bullpen, to use a phrase made popular in some sport.
Sport adjacent.
This guy is pretty cool. Sting. You know him, right?
Sure.
He just stopped by the studio not
wrestler?
Too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
No.
What?
A Sting musician. Gordon Sumner, if you will.
Sting.
He's going to... I think we established who we're talking about.
Sting.
Yes, exactly. He is going to play the first show at the reopened Bataclan Theater in Paris. First show since those deadly terror attacks.
Oh, right.
In Paris nearly a year ago, when it killed 90 people at an Eagles of Death Metal show, they are reopening the Bataclan for... we have two important tasks to reconcile, Sting said on his website, announcing the show. First, to remember and honor those who lost their lives in the attack a year ago. And second, to celebrate the life and the music that this historic theater represents. In doing so, we hope to respect the memory as well as the life-affirming spirit of those who fell. We shall not forget them. So,
are you surprised that they are reopening it as a public venue?
I am not. I think it's brave, and I think it's right, and I think Sting is the perfect act to kick things off.
Yeah, I think that's a good booking if you're going to do it. I'm just a little bit surprised because so often, particularly in this country, you know, a movie theater, a bunch of people get killed, they just tear down the movie theater. You know, the World Trade Center, they say, nope, we're not going to build a building on that site again. It becomes hallowed ground for some.
Yeah. I think it's a wise decision, and I think it's going to be very healing for a lot of people to see music and joy coming out of that building again. I think will be pretty cool. And, of course, I don't know if you heard this or not, but the election for president is next week.
What?
Yeah, on Tuesday, apparently.
Why hasn't there been any campaigning?
Well, you know, in America, they wisely limit the amount of money and the amount of time you can campaign.
Do they do that?
Yes. There's a strict policy of you only have, I think, a few months before the election where you can actually campaign.
Or 10 years.
Oh, that's right. That's what it is. Or, in some cases, a lifetime worth of campaigning. Regardless of who you're voting for in this election, it is important to get out and vote, and especially for certain segments of the population. For example, millennials. Millennials have a statistically low turnout in terms of the election. And so there are a lot of public service announcements and videos online trying to reach the millennials to ask them to get out and do their part and vote for whichever candidates they're supporting. And so what they did was, I think very wisely, they found a famous celebrity millennial to speak to his peers.
Oh,
And that famous young person is Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell has come out.
He's a millennial?
He is. He is a millennial.
Okay.
And he has done a PSA directly addressing his peer group of young people. And it is, as you can imagine, typically hilarious. Here is the Will Ferrell PSA addressing millennial voters.
I'm Will Ferrell, actor, comedian, and typical run-of-the-mill millennial. I just wanted to talk to you directly, one vibrant youth to another. So let's all put down our Snapchat, Tinder, Instagram, and other assorted app-based technologies for a minute so we can keep it 100. Our voting history is public record. Yeah, that's right, bae. Whether we vote or not is available online for any of our fellow millennial friends to see, or even worse, our parents. If you don't vote, everyone might find out that you're the opposite of on fleek, or that you're basic, or even worse, that you've got
no chill.
No chill.
All this on top of what will be a serious case of FOMO. It's Bay, right?
Bay.
Bay.
Tinder.
Did you say Tinder or Tinder?
I kind of think it's Tinder. I have no idea.
Those are the outtakes after it's of him desperately trying to learn the lingo.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
He's a very convincing young man.
He is. And he looks, doesn't look good, though, for his age. He's got to moisturize or something's going bad there. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these celebrities born on today, the 4th of November. Matthew McConaughey's 47 years old. Rapper Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Dua Diddy Combs.
Are you not entertained?
I am.
Are you not entertained?
Quite entertained, Sean. It's okay. 47 years old. He's just Sean these days, right? Or has he changed
it
up again?
Just going by Sean.
It's hard to follow.
Track.
Jeff Probst of Survivor fame is 54 years old. Ralph Macchio is 55 as well. And comedian Kathy Griffin celebrates her 56th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a 5 p.m. commercial-free hour this afternoon on the world-famous K-Rock. And then tune in Monday morning for all the details on K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
So close.
I thought you were going to make it.
You're right there.
Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Right?
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Isn't it neat?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't get it.
I need another hit.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this. I had a brother killed in the war, another brother prisoner in Germany for 21 months.
Where
and
they
love the Cubs. They're all dead now.
Roll another one.
Sounds great.
Just like the other one.
Keep yelling, it really helps.
This one seems to be about.
Okay, guys, hey, guess what? You just got
played. Yeah! Don't bogart that joint.
You see that? You see how white people do?
Just pass it around.
That's racist.
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Thanks, Obama.
Well, just pass it on down.
Man, I'm going to tell you right now, y'all, I was hating it up until the finale, but the finale is what got me.
I have two words for you.
Let me guess, get out? No, he's going to say suck it. He's not going to say suck it.
Suck it.
You were right.
Bye. There's the door. Later days.
I would very much like to be excluded from this narrative.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Don't be a dildo. See ya. Out.